Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode number 22 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. It's the home stretch. It's the last few games of the season. We're down to the wire. All these cliches are really getting overused. But the bottom line is we still don't know who we'll face in the playoffs. It's exciting. It's a bit frustrating. But this week still has some surprises in store. And hopefully, we'll have some great news that few Sens fans were expecting to hear until next season with regards to the Apostle. Boys, have you calmed down from Monday night yet? Because I know we all got a little worked up during the Pens game.
Matt Cook still sucks.
Kind of goes without saying.
That was hard to sit through. But yeah. What was harder than that was yesterday's scoreboard watching.
Did you get any work done there, Pan?
No. Oh, my. I can't believe I did that. That was horrifying.
Just refresh.
Refresh. Exactly. I'm texting with Cardinal the whole time. It's like, all right, knock on wood, but things are looking great. Immediately, the Islanders score to tie up the game, push it to overtime. The Rangers tie the game. What was the other one? I think Carolina screwed up. I can't remember what it was.
That was
someone else. Something else happened. I was like, what? What is this?
It was just after that. Wasn't it just when the Jets had tied it up with Washington?
That was it. And the Jets tied. Or they got one. I think it was 4-3 at the time. It's like, jeez.
And I believe my two words to you were, stop tweeting. Just stop. But it all worked out.
Tempting fate.
God.
Exactly. So yesterday was exciting, and we got some more of that to come. But lots to talk about today. But we're all calmed down now. We're ready to go. We're focused. Who am I kidding? I'm not focused. Maybe, I hope you guys are, because I'm not.
I'm so jittery.
You're jittery. Well, let's try to get through it anyway. Are we ready?
We're starting now? Okay.
Yep.
Game on!
Some of the game recaps are going to be pretty quick, and we're really happy to have some help with them, so hopefully they won't be too boring, but we'll get through them as quickly as we can. Game 44 was the Capitals at the Senators. This was a fun game, at least in parts, but only parts. The start of the game was actually not very flattering for the Senators, as many games haven't been of late. Just over 3 minutes into the game, Ribeiro took a two-minute penalty for checking from behind on Zach Smith. Not a single shot on goal during the power play. 3 minutes later, Green takes 2 minutes for a tripping tourist. Again, the power play really weak. It's been a recurring theme that's been going on for some time now. Just around the nine-minute mark, there was a play that I heard some... I guess my view of it was a little different from other people. Ovechkin was breaking in on the left wing, and Greiba steered him away from the net. He didn't get a shot on goal. I heard a lot of people saying that Greiba got completely outplayed on that, but I was watching it going, well, Ovechkin didn't make it to the net. He didn't get a shot on goal. I thought it was okay. Could it have been played better? Yeah, probably. But I didn't think it was a terrible play, but there were some really negative comments on TV and radio after that. To me, it was okay. I don't know if you guys thought it was a bad play or not, but for me,
it was
okay.
I can't really remember it, but
no.
If it's Ovechkin.
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't get a shot on goal, which to me, that's the bottom line. He didn't get one.
Well, according to CBC, Ovechkin is the great one.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
What? No, he may be the great eight. No, he's not the great one.
They keep screwing it up and calling him the great one.
Oh, my God. That's pathetic. And who said that? Was that... This game was on CBC, was it?
I think it was...
No, it wasn't, but it came up on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm time shifting on you.
Don't do that. All right.
Get back in the vortex, Canuck.
That's right. There we go. Around about the 10-minute mark, I got a one-word text from Pan. It said, "Boring," which really reflected most of this period. There wasn't a whole lot going on from either end.
Neither team was playing.
Yeah, exactly.
When things are not going well, you know that's me that's sending that out. Just
exactly.
Do something!
Yes.
So when you see that, you got to hear it that way.
Exactly. Just a little bit. The period was so boring that at one point they started talking, you know, trivia pits about the teams that were playing. And the Senators lead the league with 17 of their own draft picks on our roster right now.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty impressive. That says a lot to our ability to draft and develop.
I don't want to do my math again.
But can we score?
Well, not necessarily. But we don't build our team through trades. We build our team through draft picks. Anyway, late in the period, there were a couple of good chances. Mathot set up McCulloch on the doorstep, but the deflection was stopped by Holtby. Letendresse got close in, but missed high. And just over 2 minutes left in the game, Zibanejad had three great chances in 10 seconds, but all of them were stopped. And just as at the end of the period, as the Capitals were going off the ice, right next to the tunnel, in the first row, on TV, Spot the Idiot. I just went, oh, yeah. And why is he wearing that jersey at this game? Just to get a rise out of people. Whatever.
You can also smell the idiots, by the way. It's kind of this mothball smell. <you know? laughs>
Well, I think I texted you guys. I'm jumping out of the vortex. On my way to the Pittsburgh game, I saw one. I wasn't even at the friggin' rink yet.
And let me guess, it's probably like a Clark or a Gilmore.
No, Sundin.
Sundin. You know.
Yeah, well.
Oh my god.
Good long. Been gone long enough. Yeah. Typical.
You smell Leaf jersey?
Not saying what it smells like, but you can probably read my mind as to what I think it smells like. Second period, just over a minute in, Turris, with a beautiful setup by Chris Phillips and Milan McCulloch, opens the scoring. 1-0, or 1-0, sorry. And just over a minute and a half later, Zach Smith gets a beautiful semi-breakaway, but whiffs on the shot, and it just sort of trickles wide when he had a really good opportunity. I feel so sorry for him, because he does try. It just doesn't. He's almost like Condra. Tries, but it just doesn't seem to work very much. Around the 9-minute mark, Neil had a beauty of a one-on-one where he deked around the defenseman, deked the goalie, and rang it off the post with about three different moves to get in there. And it was just looking at him going, "That was Chris Neil, really?" Yeah, it was a wicked, wicked try. He did a beautiful job.
He beat the defenseman, and he just got outside the post, really, beat the goalie.
Unfortunate. And then a minute and a half later, Holtby had a wicked toe save on Silverberg's wraparound attempt. It's a great opportunity, but it just didn't go in. And unfortunately, 30 seconds after that, Ribeiro scored to tie the game 1-1. But not to worry, because 2 minutes after that, just around the 13:30 mark, Holtby went behind the net to clear the puck, shot it past his defenseman, straight onto Conacher's stick, and that was a really, really tough angle to get a shot on net, but Conacher just buried it in the middle of a beautiful open net from a really, really sharp angle. So, at the end of two periods, it was 2-1. Third period, not a whole lot went on other than Anderson making a beautiful shot on Fair on a breakaway halfway through the period. A minute and a half left, Torres scores to make it 3-1, and that's your final score, 3-1. Now, the one little interesting piece of trivia from this game that I was looking through the stats afterwards. I've never seen a game sheet that looks like this before. Six defensemen. Cowan, time on ice, 21:43. Mathot, 20:30. Phillips, 20:35. Wierkosh, 17. Gonchar, 21:31. Greiba, 19:05. So the most was Cowan with 21:43. It was six defensemen played almost, with the exception of Wierkosh, played almost exactly the same number of minutes.
That's good balancing.
Yeah. I've never seen that before because usually there's at least one guy who's, you know, 26, 27.
Carlson.
Not that game. Carlson. Jara.
Yeah, maybe Jara.
Hang on. We'll get to that. So there you go. There's the Caps at Sands.
And we halted their 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we were going to get killed. I literally thought that they're just going to come by and like win 8-2.
What's with the negative waves, Moriarty? Come on. Anyway.
What was your game prediction on that one?
I don't remember, to be honest. I'm not very good at them. I admit that. Next game, Saturday, April 20th. This was the Blue Cockroaches visiting us.
Hockey night in Canada. A chance for the Leafs to clinch a playoff spot.
Exactly.
Put the nail in the coffin of Toronto. So we all know it's going to happen, right?
Let's go through all the things that happen. National stage, check. Leafs can clinch, check. Heritage jerseys, check. Well, that's a bad start, but you know what? We won against Caps. Toronto lost a couple of games. We're fine. Then I see Chris tweet, reffing tonight, Tim Peel.
Check.
Check.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, wasn't it also Bob Cole and Glenn Healy?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Glenn Healy's on the panel now.
I mean, thankfully Gary Galley was there, but.
And Greg Millen, I think, but.
That's set up well.
That's all I want to talk about this game.
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have to do this game recap. We have a volunteer. Oh, why don't we play that now?
This is CB Inc. reporting behind enemy lines south of the 401. I have our game recap for the 20th of April. This one's a little bit different, so here it goes. Maple whiskey is the drink to watch, but CB Inc.'s choice is really good scotch. Saturday, April 20th, Leafs at the Sens. Earlier today, Boston lost to the Pens. Anderson is in net for the host. Reimer is also in between the posts. McLaren hits Cassian in the back. Cassian immediately goes on the attack. Turris gets called for a dive, but Van Riemsdyk gave him a hook. That one goal, it was disallowed. All that was said was suck it, Fanuc. Van Riemsdyk scored up a pair. Sens fans shouted, hey, that's not fair. Silverberg scored from the blue line. Oh, the Toronto fans, they whine. Kadri and Lupul both notched up one. Alas, our game, it was not done. The third period, it let us all down. Now, Senator fans, all wear a frown.
Okay, that was awesome. That's way better. Oh, there's no way I'm putting that much work into each one of them because A, I'm not that creative, and B, that's too much work. But CB8, thanks. That was
CB8. You're just doing all the Leaf games now.
Yeah, that made me laugh. And after a game like that, where I wasn't laughing. That was pretty good.
So if the Sens had have won this game, I'm sure they would have cut to the Nationals as quickly as they possibly could, right? But because the Leafs clinched, it must have been just a love fest. I had to turn it off. It's annoying.
I didn't even bother.
I wasn't watching it. I just went, okay. Well,
I was trying to find the Punjabi feed because it would have been better.
Ignorance is bliss. Is that it? Yeah.
I don't understand it. I'll feel better. All right.
Actually, we got an email from Voigny on that one, too. So
yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Timestamp on this. The timestamp was Saturday, obviously. 10:06 p.m. Voigny says, 4 emails in the last 20 minutes. Sheesh. I hate living here. Bad enough the Screaming Trees made the playoffs, but did they have to do it on our freaking building? Sheesh.
Pretty much. Sums up pretty... Not a good game by most of the team, I'd say. Fortunate, but there it is. Anyway, we still have another game to get through. Excuse me. So we'll get through that one hopefully fairly quickly. Game 46, which was this past Monday? Yeah, past Monday night. Penguins at the Senators.
Welcome back, Matt Cook.
Matt Cook Hate Fest. It was a chance to get a little payback. It was a chance to really show whatever. Yeah, that didn't really work out so well. Now, I'm not about to say that I'm a Matt Cook fan, but I have to say that leading up to this game, I was astonished by the number of Penguins apologists who were getting bent out of shape over the whole concept of a hate fest. Oh, he's not a bad guy. He's reformed. He's a good player. He's not the same person he used to be. You need to give him a chance. No, I'm sorry. He is still a dirty player. He's just a reformed dirty player who isn't quite as dangerous and reckless as he used to be. He still is dangerous and reckless.
Was it? Just he almost he dirty hit it on McQuaid the night before too.
Exactly. So I just couldn't believe the number of people who were saying, "Oh, well, you just don't understand him." No, I think I do. I'm just not a Penn's apologist.
Leave the cook alone.
Well, I came so close to asking one of them if they felt the same way about Steckel 2 years ago. And Steckel's not a dirty player. So yeah. Did they feel that it was okay for him to elbow Sidney Crosby in the head? But, or would they have felt okay? Would they have
you
felt better?
You can't compare that, man.
Why not? Because one of them got suspended and
Crosby.
Didn't? Oh, exactly. Clearly. Well, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Norris Trophy winner, Hart Trophy winner. I don't
yeah,
see
but the Norris Trophy is awarded over the performance over their careers. You know. Oh, never mind.
Oh, that's right. But he's yeah. gone, and Carlson got it at 21. Okay. I'll go with that. I'll go.
And how PK Subban's career has been great.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, sorry, got off on a little tangent there, but I just found it really.
Yeah, we never do that. Sorry.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, squirrel.
I mean, right at the beginning of the game, Neil challenged Cook, and Cook turned him down. And you know that I expected that. I didn't expect him to want to throw down. And I was actually a little disappointed that Cassian hadn't been dressed for this game, because I was really hoping that Paul McLean would go, you know what? Worked really well in the playoffs last year, because Matt Karkner got dressed for game two. And went over to Boyle and, you know, challenged him and said, come on, we're going. And he wouldn't go, and challenged him again, we're going. And the third time he said, well, we're going whether you want to or not. And
Cook's
I don't
not
going
to go for that, though.
Well, Brian Boyle didn't either. Didn't stop Matt Karkner. He still pounded on him.
Well, going into this game, there's two things. You either want the retribution.
Yes.
Or you want the 2 points.
Yes.
Well, I wanted both. And
we wanted
yes.
both. We ended up with neither.
Neither.
So,
damn it.
I would have taken one. I would have taken one. But I guess I just look
correcting
at it as
my English.
Yeah. I don't see Cook as ever being able to seriously refor himself. He's just not as bad as he used to be, and he gets away with a lot of stuff that other players wouldn't because he's not as bad as he used to be.
Well, just YouTube his dirty hits. There's one clip on there.
Exactly.
And it's about 4 or 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. And he gets away with them because he's not as bad as he used to be. So he's not pulling the stuff that he used to pull. So he gets away with the stuff that he does now. If it was Chris Neal who was doing this, he would get a suspension, which Chris Neal never has.
Because he doesn't do those things.
Exactly. Exactly.
After time and actually after looking at watching that video, because Cook seems to be, we'll call it smart in his ways. Of knowing when to hit people. Like there was one play where he ended up kicking Chris Osgood in the head on a sliding play, which is just weird. But from this, I don't think that he knew that he was going to slice his tendon, but it looks like he just went up to knee him and kind of give him a Charlie horse.
It's a wreck. I don't think he did it intentionally. I don't think he intentionally cut him, but it was a reckless play.
Yeah, because of trying to knee him or something like that.
Yeah, it was a reckless and dangerous play. I don't think he deliberately cut him. I don't think he's quite that much of a lunatic, but it's reckless.
Anyways,
game
on!
Let's get through this. Anyway, so Neil challenged Cook. Cook turns him down. Shortly thereafter, Greiba kind of got a little, got an interference call because Cook was trying to kind of go through him after the puck and Greiba held him up. Which I understand, it's Matt Cook. It was a dumb penalty to take, but there was obviously a lot of emotion in this game, so I can't fault him for it. It was a bad penalty to take, yeah, but whatever. Not the end of the world.
It's typical.
Jeffrey scored, Iggy scored. It's, you know, 2 goals in the first 10 minutes of the game, 10 and a half minutes of the game. Ottawa wasn't looking too good, to be honest. They were not playing very well. They didn't look particularly organized. They didn't have a lot of drive. They didn't have a lot of energy. Pittsburgh got a too many men on the ice penalty 3/4 of the way through the first period. I missed the very last 15 seconds of the first period. I don't remember what I was doing. I think I had gone to get another pint or something because I was watching it at home. What happened with Zach Smith and Bortuzzo and Orpik and Neil and McIntyre?
Oh.
I mean, I know Smith and Bortuzzo went at it for 5 minutes each, but Orpik and Neil got two for roughing, McIntyre got two for roughing, and a 10-minute misconduct. What happened? I didn't see it.
Oh, it was during the fight. Like, you know how all the players are supposed to
back off and step away.
They ended up clustering up again.
Neil had like two people on him, right?
At one point. Yeah, that'd be Orpik and McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And Zach Smith landed this amazing uppercut.
This is beautiful. I'm going to try to find that for the pick of the episode.
It probably sounded something like this.
Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo.
That was one hell of a fight.
I missed it.
So. It just dropped him. You've got to look that one up on Hockey Fights after.
I will.
It's good.
I will. Second period was much like the first. The Sens were struggling big time. They even had an extended 6-on-5 due to a delayed penalty call. And they got one shot on net.
They cycle. They cycle well, but they just cannot finish.
They just don't. Well, they don't shoot very much either. They cycle a lot, but they don't. They get shots on goal, but they don't get
too fancy.
Yeah, it's like they. I think they just need to start. I mean, I know they get a lot of shots on goal, but they're all from the perimeter, and there's nobody there for a rebound. When the rebounds are there, it's getting a little frustrating. In this period, this was the period with the huge hit by Neil on Dupre, which he got the 2 minutes for charging, and then Adams got 4 minutes for roughing afterwards. And then Phillips gets a high-sticking penalty near the end of the power play. It was just continual. There was a lot of penalties in this game, and it was just a continue one after the other in the box. But it really wasn't all that interesting. There was one thing I noticed. There was at one point it was a 4-on-3. There were so many penalties being called, and Colin Greening had two excellent face-off wins in a row. Colin Greening, like they were really good face-off wins. I'm looking at it going, why is he there? Because I can't remember who kept getting waved out, but he was in on
both.
Best
left winger in the world to take faceoffs.
But they were good wins. Like they were honestly good wins. And as the penalties all finally expired, the Senators got a 3-on-2, and it was pass, pass, pass. No shot on goal.
It's great cycle.
Yeah, great cycle, but just not shooting. Everybody wants to set somebody else up, but nobody seems to want to shoot at the net. I don't know what was going on, but it was getting very frustrating. Now, the third period, Wierkosz scored just after over 7 minutes in. It was a power play goal, so the score was getting a little close, and then Kennedy scored with an assist from Cook at 17 and a half minutes. And that's all I can tell you about the third period, because between the second and third period, I had a back spasm. I couldn't watch any more of the
game. That's all there was.
On the Kennedy goal, mm-hmm. Matt Cook absolutely dangled his way around Wierkosz. It was embarrassing.
Oh, well.
And the Sens were really, really pressing on before that, too.
Yep.
Were they?
It was embarrassing.
Backbreaker.
So, yep. I didn't find the refereeing very good in this game.
What? Really?
I know, typical. but actually, and I watched a game on, I think it was a Sunday game. So Francois Saint-Laurent ref this one. He also ref the New Jersey and Rangers game.
I didn't watch
where
that.
DeBoer got kicked out at the end for chirping at him. Because Saint-Laurent just screwed them over in that game too. Blatant missed calls and weird penalties.
There's a beautiful call. I can't remember which period. I'm thinking the first period. Turris was like leaning on his edges in the offensive zone. And stick came in made contact with his skates and Turris fell down. So it was a tripping. And they got a call. They called it for a hooking. Well, that's whatever. But and then they called Turris on the dive.
It was ridiculous. It's like
he's on his edges.
He's on his edges. What do you want him to do? Slow down? Stop?
Well, he should have seen it coming.
I think it was a Chris Phillips. Yeah. Well, Chris Phillips holding too, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
He had both of his hands on his stick, and the guy just kind of fell. It was a joke.
Yeah, two hands on the stick.
That's weird.
And apparently Saint-Laurent was also the ref in Game 7 last year in the finals. where he ended up screwing over the Devils, so they just haven't let him go on that. So he's got a bias against them and just calls him on anything.
Wow, so he's the Devil's Tim Peel or...
Well, exactly. And so you've got this guy and O'Rourke playing at your working game seven.
Yike. Not good.
And these are your best two. I don't know. It was bad. I wish Shredder was on. Can I call Shredder?
Yeah. No, just joking. Okay. All right, that's enough for the game recaps. Let's put them to bed. I think we've hashed them enough because there certainly wasn't a whole lot. It's amazing, you know, last week everything was happy. The week before that everything was terrible. This week, it's not terrible, but it's not very good. And no, it's coming down to the end and we're all wired up going, we just want to make the playoffs.
No, we're in a free fall after that game.
I don't know if we're in a free fall. I'd say we're more like living on the edge than being. Well,
I have nothing to add to that in regards to songs, so I'm just going to play Gangnam Style. That's not it.
That was better. Anyway, moving away from the game summaries, we already talked about Cook. I don't want to talk about Cook anymore. There was some really good news today.
Yeah. Matt Cook got injured? Oh, sorry.
That'd be really, really good news. No, the news today was that Erik Karlsson took a full practice with the team. He was paired up with Mathot for the entire practice. And afterwards, I mean, obviously every single question is he going to play? Is he going to play? And he said that there's only a slim chance that he'll play tomorrow, but he is traveling with the team and he'll take the morning skate and see how he feels like it. See what it feels like afterwards.
Can we just put him on the power play or something?
Well, that was one of the questions that's come up, and he said he doesn't want to play that way. He doesn't want to be like a seventh defenseman. He really wants to play a full game. But that was a question that was actually talked about a lot. Well, it would screw up your forward lines. But I mean, would you rather have Karlsson playing part time instead of La Tendresse?
What is with these Swedes, Alfredsson and Karlsson? Like, they can't play like at their top level and their top line, and they won't play at all.
Well, I don't think he wants to be a burden, but there was a lot of talk today about just dressing seven defensemen anyway. And it, you know, give him regular time. But what happens if, you know, 10 minutes into the game, he suddenly goes, I'm getting a muscle cramp, you know, I'm not, or something else is going wrong. Well, and you're suddenly stuck with only five. Well, you're suddenly stuck with only five defensemen. Yeah. So, but if you've dressed seven, then you still have six to keep going with.
They should put him on.
This isn't the last game, though.
No, but it's the last home game.
No, they're away.
They're away in
Washington. It's Philadelphia. Oh, okay. It's
Philadelphia. Game.
Yeah. So Saturday. So
gotcha.
Will the extra couple days help them? Maybe.
Probably.
If you have a chance to win the game, which this roster did last week, and I really hope that like Leonsis, I think that's his name.
Just Ted Leonsis, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex. You've had such a great comeback. Take Thursday off. Maybe they can like rest Holtby, rest Neuvirt.
I don't think Ovechkin would want to rest. He's right up there for the Richard.
Then rest both of the goalies and Backstrom. Backstrom, you've done well.
Maybe not even play a goalie. You know what? Just go six out.
Six out.
We're not going to run up. Yeah, score. We just want to win.
Chasing for goals, there's six out. There's goals, four counts, right? I completely forgot my original train of thought here. I derailed myself. That's pretty fun. If Karlsson practiced with Mathot the whole practice,
yep,
he's in.
I think so, but I still wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad idea to dress a seventh defenseman. And I mean, if it's somebody like Prakash, put him on the left wing of the fourth line. There you go. Get some minutes.
Put him up with Juris.
Anyone who tunes into the game and listening, especially on the radio, or turns their head away and is listening, they're going to hear Carlson's name because there's a Carlson on the Capitals. Yeah. And every time I hear that, really I go, what? So what?
Yeah, that gets very confusing.
Get up to Backstrom.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the lines in practice today were actually juggled up quite a bit from what at least I'm used to seeing. The first line was Conacher, Turris, McCulloch. And the second line was Greening, Smith, Alfred. The third line was Kondra, Zibanejad, Silverberg. And the fourth line was Latendresse, Pajot, Neal.
Do what you got to do because it isn't working at the moment. So, yeah.
And the spares were Cassian, O'Brien, Regan. The defense pairings were Mathot, Carlson, Cowan, Gonchar, and Philip Skryba, which means we now have three spares with Weerkosh, Lundin, and Benoit. Now, I can't play. Out of those three, Weerkosh, Lundin, and Benoit, which do you put in? Or how do you want to redo them? I'd put in Weerkosh and I'd pull out Greiba and put in Benoit.
Ooh.
For the Caps, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, put Weerkosh and Benoit together because they work well together. They played really well together earlier this year because they've been playing together a lot down in the AHL. And then put Phillips and Gonchar together, or Phillips and Cowan and Mathot and Gonchar. You can work those four out how you want. No offense to Greiba. I'm not saying he's been playing badly, but Weerkosh and Benoit just seem to really click. So put them back together. I don't know. Just my thought.
That's my thought.
Yeah! I wasn't going there, but that's not bad.
I am concerned with this lineup. The defense is fine. I love our defense. But the forwards... juggling things up now, like I know you have to, but this is scary coming into playoffs.
The playoffs?
Well, it may start being juggled up this way, but it may also go back to, like, you may suddenly go, okay, well, Conacher goes back with Zibat and Silverberg.
Yeah, you can change it within the game, right? So it's not the big deal, but you'd really want this solidified by this point.
I just want to win a game. The playoffs?
Don't want.
Okay.
It's very applicable right now.
It is, actually. It's very applicable because we need to win one to get into the playoffs. So let's just win one. Canuck, you texted me earlier this week and asked me to include something, and I have no idea what you're talking about. So you're going to have to run with this.
Yeah.
You wanted me to.
You know what this is, Pan? So
this is the Ottawa face-off icing trick.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, not every time, but a lot of times when Ottawa takes an icing penalty. And, you know, as the rules state, you can't change your line. So I've seen a lot of times for just to give the players an extra 5 to 10 seconds of rest is, let's say one of the lines is Zibanejad and Silverberg and maybe Conacher. And Zibanejad's a center, right? He'd be the one that would normally take the faceoff. But they put Silverberg in to take the faceoff, and he purposely does something to get kicked out. And then they put Zibanejad in, and he takes it and I've seen it many, many times where they'll put like someone else in and they'll purposely get kicked out and then put the real center in.
Wow.
Now, it's dangerous because, of course, if that happens twice, you take a penalty. I think that's what they're trying to crack down on. But
at that point, like if you find that you're risky, because Zibanejad just does weird stuff and Turris gets kicked out a lot. I don't think I've seen Zibanejad get kicked out of the dot.
I'm not sure.
He loses a lot of them because he's like doing the splits. And there's one last game he had a knee on the ice. I don't know what he's doing. It's weird. But
by the way, happy birthday, Zibanejad.
Oh,
He just had one.
He's a big boy.
Sorry, you didn't get your hat trick for your birthday. I know that's what he said he wanted to the reporters that day. Well,
watch. You'll see this happen quite a bit.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch for that because that's pretty clever. But now, of course, you've told the rest of the league about it, so the refs are going to start cracking down on it.
Like they listen to us.
Maybe that's why.
Good point.
Hey, Tim, you listened to the Sens call-ups last night? Yeah, let's get them. Freaking underground guys again. We'll show them.
Yeah, really. That's right. They think they know what they're talking about. I'll show them. Okay.
That Shredder guy is going to be furious. You watch.
He's got a lot of rage. Quick look at what's going on down in the minors and prospects and so on. Binghamton opens a series against Scranton Wilkes-Barre on Saturday in the first round of the AHL playoffs. So that one hasn't started yet. We still have some prospects who are playing in the CHL playoffs, and some of them have actually joined Binghamton because their teams are out. Stefan Nason has now played 13 games in the playoffs with Plymouth. They're facing London. 13 games played, 7 goals, 12 assists.
I thought London played for us. Oh, London.
Not even going there. That's bad. But 7 goals, 12 assists in 19 playoff games and 20 penalty minutes. Not bad. Cody Ceci is now down in Binghamton. He's played 3 games.
First pro goal.
Yep, first goal and assist. First assist. Yep. In his first AHL game, there were actually 4 X67s on the ice.
Wow.
3 for Binghamton with Cody Ceci, Shane Prince, and Corey Cowick. And on the other side of the ice, playing for Manchester, Tyler Toffoli, who is a player I'd really like to have in our system, but he just got awarded the AHL Rookie of the Year and is now actually up in L.A. He's not in Manchester anymore. He's actually in L.A. Matt Pumple is now down in Bingo, played 2 games, no points so far. The one goalie that we still have playing in the playoffs, Chris Dreider, playing for Calgary. Get these numbers. Games played, 13. Record, 10-1-2. Goals against, 1.94.
Sweet.
Holy save geez. Percentage, .942.
And a 1.94 in the CHL is unheard of.
In the in the Western, no less. And then
because they just games. Light it up, right? Because you
exactly.
had your stats.
194. Yep.
You know when Shredder was saying last week about trading Anderson in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we traded Bishop, just trade him anyway.
Well, I'm not sure this kid's going to be quite ready for it yet.
Oh, it's fine, dude.
All right.
Flash in the pan.
Never know. No, he's been pretty steady all year. His numbers are pretty good all year. And one other prospect. Now, this isn't a draft pick. This is actually a free agent signing from about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I think. Troy Rutkowski, who plays for the Portland Winterhawks. He was a free agent signing undrafted. In 13 games in the playoffs, he's a defenseman. 13 games in the playoffs, 3 goals, 7 assists, +8. So 10 points and a +8 for a guy who we got for nothing. It wasn't even a draft pick. And he plays for Portland, which is the team where Seth Jones is, the one who's projected to go first overall in the draft. So he's still playing too. So lots of, a couple of prospects and, you know, development projects out there that are doing pretty well in the playoffs so far. Moving away from the Senators, was it you who texted me about this? That Carolina has called up Jared Staal?
Yep.
Yeah. So there'll be three, there's the potential for having an all-Staal line.
Is he the goalie?
No, he's a forward.
He's a forward.
They don't have a goalie.
So Jared,
he hasn't shown the skill that the other brothers have.
Oh, he's pretty good. He's just young.
He's not that young anymore. He got drafted about 4.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong
four,
one.
5
then.
Years. He's the youngest one, but he's still probably around 22.
No,
so he hasn't cracked the NHL lineup regularly. He got drafted by Phoenix and then traded to Carolina.
So how does the jerseys work? Because they had the J Staal and M Staal, right?
E Staal.
Yeah.
E Staal. So now it's going to be
J-A.
J-A, J-O.
J-O. Yeah, this is actually going to be his NHL debut on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, he's never played. Okay.
Nope.
So he hasn't, like, I guess you just call him up, right? You're out. You got 3 games left. Might as well.
Come play with your brothers.
You try out your AHL guys anyways. So
sure. That's
interesting. Another thing that I'm thinking of is Mark Staal, I believe, only has a year left on his contract. The Rangers have a cap issue.
That's the guy.
And they're okay with not playing with Mark Staal either, who's a great defenseman.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
Much, much better than Brian Lee, by the way.
this just in.
Frigg Muckler. But if they've got cap issues, you can probably move them to Carolina. And if Carolina was willing to give up what they did for Jordan, you can probably get yourself some good forwards or something like that too.
So get all four Stalls on the same team and then relocate to Thunder Bay.
Yeah. Or just rename the team.
Yeah.
They're not the Hurricanes anymore.
The Carolina Stalls.
Ayo, Tampa. Thank you, Ben Bishop. 3-2.
Come again?
Are you refreshing? Oh. There's not much going on other than if you just want to watch the Leafs lose a meaningless game.
Well, no, because then they could win second. That's what all the media's been all for today. Anyway.
Well, the one good thing, if Montreal and Toronto meet in the first round of the playoffs, there's one really important thing that comes out of this. One of those fan bases is gone after the first round of the playoffs.
Not to mention the orgy that CBC will have.
Oh, it's going to be sick. Absolutely sick.
You know how they normally start the game on Saturday, like a half an hour before, and talk and talk? They'll be able to do it like half a day before. Just... like Super it's Bowl.
It'll be like the NFL Sundays, you know?
Yeah.
Coverage starts at 8 o'clock in the morning when kickoff is at 1 in the afternoon.
Oh, that was like Saturday's game where they just went 28 minutes in the pregame show about the Leafs, then just rushed things about the Sens in the last minute and a half.
Oh, look, Carlson skating again.
You're surprised?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
I'm not.
I was angry going into the game. So angry.
Mark Stahl has 2 years left on his deal, actually.
Including this year?
Nope. After this year.
Good. That makes him even more marketable then.
Yep. 3.975 million. And yeah, Carolina's cap hit next year is 56 million, which is going to put them right at the floor.
Yeah, so, but you can move some back.
Well, no, you know, right Pan, the Maple Leafs, according to Healy, are kind of like Muhammad Ali. You know, they take a beating, but they just win.
Did he actually say that?
Yes. And he showed the video.
My taxes pay this man.
Yep. Yeah, but lots of Toronto taxpayers will say the same thing. Oh, we like him.
Oh,
my make it right, but anyway.
God.
Anyway, let's move away from Glenn Healy, shall we? Playoffs. We can't talk about specific matchups for the playoffs because they're not all decided yet.
Not all decided.
We'll be able to talk about that.
Pittsburgh's
next
got pretty
week.
Locked in there, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so well, some of their in one, capture in three, that is all.
That's all we know. Everything else is still fluid. And, I mean, next week they'll have been started. You know, the playoffs will have started by the time we're recording. So, or they start next Tuesday or next Wednesday?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Depending on which team it is,
I think the playoffs start Tuesday as a league.
Yeah. Yep. So they'll already be started next week when we can actually talk about them, but we can't talk about the matchups now because we don't know what they are. I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking about this today as everyone's saying, oh, Pittsburgh, you know, they're the team to beat. Chicago kind of had a good start. And they have a goalie who's 16-1. They have two goals. I mean, both their goalies have save percentages in what, the high 930s, I think it is? Why is nobody talking about Chicago being the team to beat? Everybody's focused on Pittsburgh because, is it because the media's all in the East? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, probably the stuff that we get is all in the East. Chicago and Anaheim are terrifying.
I wouldn't.
And that's probably going to be your West final right there.
The team out of the West, I mean, both those teams are very powerful. I think the team that is going to be scary to watch in the first round of the playoffs is St. Louis. They are just going to skate around and crush people. They don't
They're
have a lot
big.
Of scoring. They're
I don't
huge.
Remember which game I was watching. They are big.
And incredibly physical. Incredibly physical.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking at it going, ooh, that could get messy in a hurry. Because they don't seem to like, they seem to have a hate on with every other team. Doesn't really matter who they face. They hate everybody equally. You know, there's no differentiation, but that's going to be a really, really messy. That's, I think, whoever they play in the first round is going to be like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia from last year. It's going to be messy.
Well, the thing
entertaining.
The thing with St. Louis is because they are in St. Louis, they're always going to be an arch rival.
that's
what the hell.
Moving on.
That was actually, I'll give you what, that was solid. There you go. It was very good. Yeah. I liked it.
It's really like Bizarro World.
Yeah.
The Leafs and Islanders are in.
Yeah.
The Devils, the Flyers, and the Red Wings are out.
Well, the
Red Wings aren't out yet, but what the hell?
Yeah.
Red Wings are what, 22 years straight? Something like that I heard.
Sounds about right. 22 years, I think. Yep.
I was 10. I was French. Wow.
It is a little different, to be sure. I mean, if anybody had said at the beginning of the season that the New York Islanders would clinch a playoff spot before the New York Rangers, imagine the odds.
With DiPietro.
But if you had gone into a bookie in Vegas and tried to place that bet, can you imagine the odds you would have got before the season started?
Well, they probably wouldn't understand what you're doing.
Hockey?
Yeah.
What is this? But seriously, just bizarre, some of the things that are going on this season. But that's what makes the playoffs entertaining, I suppose, because once you're in, who knows what's going to happen?
Yep. Just like the Kings, right?
Well, yeah. Nobody thought they had a chance last year.
No.
But you never know. Anyway, we can't really talk about upsets. We can't really talk about who's playing who.
Well, who's your sleeper pick?
Who's my sleeper pick?
Yeah.
Well,
Detroit.
I was going to say, actually, I think my sleeper pick to go, I'm not going to pick them to win the cup or anything, but to go two or three rounds? No, New York Islanders.
Wow.
That's my sleeper. Shut down Tavares, though.
If you can. Lots of teams have been trying all year. And they just seem to find ways to win. And if you've watched, I don't know if you've watched some of their games, they're not pretty. You know, they're not artistic the way something like a Pittsburgh game is. It's just ways to win. And I've been pretty impressed with some of their play so far this year. I mean, not that it's impressive. Oh, my God, that was fantastic. Just like, you just won again. All right. Well,
what about Ottawa? Do you think they're a sleeper pick?
Aren't they the way they're playing.
No, but aren't they technically the top defensive team in the East?
Based on?
Oh, they're just behind Chicago, I think, in goals against. I really like the defense, but we need more offense.
Yeah, but what's playoffs all about, right? I don't know. Throwing in a homerism.
Carlson might be the dynamic in that.
Yeah, it could be.
From what I saw against the Pittsburgh game, if Ottawa's playing Pittsburgh, I mean, hold on to your butts because, yeah, those guys are fancy.
Oh, for sure.
No.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about who my sleeper pick is. That's a really good question. If Minnesota gets in, they could play a bit of a spoiler too. Because depending on
freaking all stars for it though, right?
He's out. Yeah, he's out for the season, isn't he?
Yeah, it was something significant. I can't remember what.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Broken
so I can actually. Broken. I like it. But if they make it in, I can actually enjoy watching their games without going, oh, I can't cheer for this team, which would be nice. But other than that, I don't know. I still have to. It's really bad. When are people going to put their pools together if they have to wait? And they'll have to do them all the picks on Monday. I have one invitation for a pool, which is some people are saying, oh, we'll do it Sunday. Like, well, you can't do it Sunday because you don't know where a couple of the teams are going to end up yet. But yeah. We may do it at Sunday anyways. But Monday is going to be a really busy day on websites for setting up hockey pools. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go with San Jose as mine. They dumped a lot of players, like Douglas Murray, which is the weirdest Swedish name ever, by the way.
Yes,
Douglas Murray and Ryan Kloh, and now they're in fifth.
And playing really well.
In a very, very tough Western Conference.
Yep.
So I'm going to say Sharks, and for once, maybe they'll win. Who knows?
They've dumped all the dead weight, maybe. That's what they'll do. They'll be able to win. Who's your pick, Canuck? Your dark horse? Your surprise?
You said the Islanders, I think?
No.
I said the Islanders.
Cardinals said that.
I think if
If you want to go with Ottawa, you can go with Ottawa.
I'm gonna go with Ottawa. They are not gonna get picked to win against anybody. So the perfect dark horse to go with.
Well, second season in a row, we weren't supposed to make the playoffs, and fingers crossed, we're going to. How far are we going them? I mean, we went last year. We went 7 games against the number one team in the East,
and we backed into the playoffs too.
And every game
we always slide in, always.
And the overall goal differential in a 7-game series was 1. So, if we could do that last year, yeah, it was very tight. But it was a fun series. Like, it was exciting.
Yeah, so. It'll be different if you're playing a team like Pittsburgh or Boston. Washington, I like the way that we stack up because our defense is very strong. And I think Washington gives up a lot of tries. I don't think we're going to play the Habs or Toronto this time. Well, we could play the Habs, but I don't know.
Could play the Habs, could play Boston, Pittsburgh. I don't think we'll make it to Toronto.
We could. Can we move up to 5th? No.
No, but they could move up to 2nd.
Probably not anymore. Anyway.
Oh, are they losing tonight? Okay. Well, anyway. We'll see. Lots to talk about. Where do we want to go from here? Announce the winners of our contest. Why don't we do that?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Our contest was, who was your favorite bingo call-up over the past few seasons and why? It was originally a couple, but I just changed it to a few because of one of the answers we got. The prize is a couple of loot bags courtesy of Kate Krenzer, who's the director of media relations for the Binghamton Senators, who I met a few weeks back at the Big Rig. Thank you, Kate. We had several entries, and we picked 2. I guess I'll read the first one. First one is from Nick, and he went a little off the map. And I picked this as a winner because I really liked the way that he kind of worked this one out. And his entry reads, "Hi guys, love the show. You're doing a great job. I was worried out here on the East Coast that I'd be left hanging with no send podcast, but you guys have filled the void nicely." That's what she said. I'm not sure if this qualifies as a call-up from the last 2 years, but this guy did play on the team briefly last year. My favorite Binghamton Senator call-up. I've been talking to you too much, Pan.
The Ottawa Senator.
My favorite Binghamton Senator.
The Ottawa Sens.
The Ottawa Sens.
Those Blair. Red players and the black helmets.
Yeah. The ones who I don't like because they're not wearing blue and white. My favorite Binghamton Senator call-up is Matt Karkner. He toiled in the minors for years, and when he finally got a break, he played with his heart out every night. It doesn't get any better than the triple overtime winning goal against Fleury in Game 5 of the playoffs, as well as the fists he fed to Boyle last year that sparked the team to an awesome playoff series against the Rangers. He wasn't anything flashy, just a steady presence on the blue line for us, a real meat and potatoes player. And I can't agree more. I think that's exactly what Matt Karkner was. He was a guy who played in the minors for years. I mean, he came up here as a 28-year-old. But he's exactly the kind of guy who comes out of the minors and plays steady for you. And, I mean, fans loved him. Nobody wanted him to leave. He left because he got a better offer from New York, and you can't fault him for that. So, well, Nick,
what's he doing now, though?
He's been hurt. So it's unfortunate, but he's getting paid, and I don't think anybody would fault him for that. So that's winning entry number 1. Who wants to read number 2?
I just deleted it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Canuck, do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
You know what? I don't have it up here, so you're on.
Okay. Okay. The second one is from Blair. And his entry reads, "I would have to say my favorite call-up is Leonard. Not for his call-up this year in 2013, but for 2012. In 2012, when Andy went down with an injury while cutting the piece of chicken. I think it was likely it was Maple Leaf Foods chicken, and that was the problem. The infamous smiley face tweet from Leonard took for poor taste due to the situation, I took it as more of a, don't worry, Sens Army, I got this. During the time that Andy was out, it gave Leonard and Big Ben the opportunity to hold down the fort until his return. And the two of them maintained their position, and this allowed the Sens to make the playoffs. The call-up in 2012, I believe, gave credibility to the duo of Leonard and Bishop that during the 2013 Andy injury, none of the Senators panicked and gave the players confidence to carry on business as usual." Awesome. So, Blair and Nick, you're our winners. I'll be in touch. I'll be in touch with you guys.
Tampa just scored too.
And well, that's good though. They're playing Toronto, aren't they?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Pay attention, Cardinal.
I'm trying to keep the show on track. It's a full time job.
We do such a great job at that.
Squirrel.
Speaking of which, I remember from last year's Leafs apologies press conference thing. Remember when Brian Brick was saying, like, I could have had a first round pick for Clark MacArthur.
Yeah.
He's like, and I didn't want it. It's like, why am I going to trade him? And he's going to trade him with you guys in the third turn. I don't know if that was for me or for Berkey, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think it was for Berkey because I wanted to know where you were going with this.
MacArthur's not playing. He's a healthy scratch. Should have taken the pick.
Oh.
Anyways, I hope he gets that Dallas job. I just want to hear him again.
Oh. Is he in the running for the Dallas job?
Yeah.
When they clean house, they're going to clean house at the end of the season? And
yeah, he apparently knows. Well, he can rebuild teams, right? Via trade.
He takes credit for other people's rebuilding of teams. Yeah,
apparently he's got a relationship with the ownership group from when he was out in Vancouver.
Oh.
I just want him for the sound bites again. Listen, this year's been boring. Yeah. When Claude Noel is the guy that's leading the way.
No kidding. Actually, on that note, about the Schnappy, we actually, guys, I haven't had a chance to talk to you before we start hitting record. We actually got a formal cease and desist on that. So, I'll have to show you the letter. And actually, we got a voicemail from the lawyer over in Europe. So maybe I can tack that on after the show. You can listen to it.
So we got a cease and desist and you just used it. Okay.
Well, they want to take all of our revenues away. They can go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
FYI, donate to the show.
That's right. There is a donate link on sendsunderground.com. Money goes to Shredder, as discussed last week. And if you'd like to slough a couple of bucks in there, we'd appreciate it. He would too, because he is still taking all the costs for hosting and so on. Not like it's going to come to us.
Yeah. We got to pay all the legal bills for ripping off other people's sound effects, I guess.
Do we have any emails?
I think you read the only one.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
come on, guys. Email the show! It's going to be the last. Give us some ideas, I guess, or things to talk about. Or next week's probably going to be pretty busy. We'll probably have one game in. But, let us know your thoughts about the season or what you've been impressed with or disappointed with. Condra. Or things like that. I don't know.
What your thoughts?
Whatever by then,
yeah, I was going to say, by then we'll know who we're meeting in the playoffs. So send us your thoughts on how that playoff series is going to go, how the other playoff series are going to go, who your picks are to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, and TJ, you have to email us, not the Underground.
nice call out. Nice.
Well, no, yeah, you didn't reply back. They forwarded it to me. I don't know if I have the right address. So just email us again at podcast@sendscallups.com.
Indeed. Well, I guess we're just about done. So coming week, game 47 is tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th. The Senators will be in Washington against the Capitals. Game 48, what was supposed to be the last game of the season, is Saturday, the 27th. The Flyers will be here in Ottawa playing the Senators. And then on Sunday is the makeup game for game 42, which was the one that was canceled a week ago last Monday due to the bombing of the Boston Marathon. So the Senators will be in Boston on Sunday. I believe it's a 7 o'clock start.
Please have everything wrapped up by then.
That would be nice. Make it a nothing game. That would be good.
Okay, if it's a nothing game, Cardinal, you can take the notes.
Okay, but if it's not a nothing game, you're taking them.
Okay.
Done. Oh.
Actually, I may be fishing this weekend. I may not be able to take any of them.
Yeah,
it's the opening of trout season over on the Quebec side where I go fishing. So I'm hoping to be up fishing. I'm not sure it's going to happen yet, but I'm hoping for it.
Well, I sure hope these are all 3-1 games. That way, coach has these down.
Yeah.
Friggin' senior. Yeah, always going 3-1 against the other teams. I think he's doing pretty well at that.
Well, yeah, that's the reason why he's doing it. That's why he's called Senior the Martyr. He realized that since he started doing that, the Sens have had a over 500 record. So
taking one for the team.
He's taking them for the team. He's,
I'm good with that.
He's got my vote for the pool win right now.
Exactly. He got an honorary mention at least.
Yeah.
So please email us at podcast@senscallups.com. Let us know what you think about what's going on with the playoffs, what you think of the season, if you think Erik Karlsson's back, if he's back, how he looks, whatever. Lots of stuff you can think about emailing at us, but actually get around to doing it, because we need more stuff to talk about.
And let us know that you're listening, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't want to just make this for Matt, Chris, and Puddleback.
Yeah, because if we don't get an email, we don't think anybody's listening. Visit the forums as well at sensunderground.com. There are game threads every game. There's lots of other threads, too, about injuries and what's going on around the league and all sorts of other stuff. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. That's all. Twitter's been quiet for the past couple of games, but I think it'll probably be picking up soon. Until next week, I got nothing else. So it's good night for me. It's good night from these guys. Good night. See you next week.
See ya.
One more win.
Was traded away, but it don't... We demand that you immediately cease and desist your unlawful copying of Snappy the Kleine Krokodil and respond immediately to the letter we sent you. Personally, I understand the fact that you guys try to be funny. I have a newsflash for you. You're not. You could have gotten away with it if you kept the use to a fragment a month or so. But now it's just too much and the frequency seems only to be increasing. Our understanding is that your show is about a sport you guys call hockey. I don't know if you're in the know, but the noble sport of hockey is played on a grass turf, not on ice. Come to think of it, you probably don't have much of the former in your country, so you're forgiven. But you mentioned that your sport regularly has some form of tolerated fighting. I must say, very gentlemanlike of you, you bunch of clodhoppers. As a note, the cost of researching your total 32 hours of showtime will in any case be billed to you at the research tariff of 100 euros per hour. But I guess you have your own agent to do that part for you. I'll be awaiting your swift response. Adrian van Rijen.